Namaste. So now we take up this other question of how to unify the different parts of nature. It's the most difficult part. Not an easy part, but something which is indispensable if we have to really take up the journey of yoga. First of all, we must understand that we are composed of many parts. We don't even know that. So broadly, what are these parts? There is the soul in us which responds to the divine. And it is the soul which experiences the call for the divine. It is the soul which brings us to yoga, makes us recognize the divine mother, gives to us those aspirations and prayers spontaneously to surrender, to seek beauty and truth and good in everything. It is the soul which, you know, draws us towards the yoga. And it should become the leader of the journey. Real yoga begins when in some way or the other, this begins to become the leader. Right now, mind is the leader. So mind says, ki, okay, should I not? Okay, maybe there is divine, but then it doubts, goes elsewhere. So this is a time when mind is hesitating, 100 places. But the soul, once it sees, knows, then it becomes the leader of the sacrifice, the human march. And that's what is meant by the Vedic Rishis performing the sacrifice. The priest, it's the priest of the sacrifice. That's how the Vedas put it. And if the soul were all, life would be wonderful. But we are not just soul. We are also mind. And mind itself has many layers. There is the rational mind which starts coming now. That okay, it's fine, you feel very good when you enter the ashram, but what is this feeling good? Maybe everybody is feeling good, you are told that, you know, this is divine, so the moment you go, you start feeling like this. It's a collective suggestion, all kinds of things it can say. And there is an imaginative mind which starts imagining, maybe the divine is root-hood with me, root ke, kya English bowling, he is not happy with me. There were people who used to believe like that, no? Mother is unhappy, mother has cast me away, and number of letters of Sri Aurobindo, mother does not do that. She will never do that. But we think, start thinking, you know, mother has turned away. She has clarified, she says, her grace never turns away. But by certain actions of ours, we put a veil between her and ourselves. She never, so there may be an impression that she has gone away, but she never goes away. She never turns away. Even a noble human being will continue to, you know. But this is the divine mother. It's her creation. In fact, we are, from that point of view, we are not separated from her. She knows that these are like little cells or atoms. We are all in her vast cosmic body. So, there is the imaginative mind. But the imaginative mind can imagine. It can imagine beautiful things also. But very often it imagines morbid things. Then there is the physical mind. It says, all this is fine, very nice things written in book, but where do I see? So it sees only, it sees, hears, bases itself on that. So it decides truth by the senses, which is the worst way. Even a scientist knows you cannot decide truth based on senses. But when it comes to divine, we decide based on senses. Then there is the dynamic, the vital, which is expresses itself through speech. Then there is the emotions. Emotions also, there is a surface emotion which are all the time in a dizzy turbulence. And there is the deeper emotion. There are passions. There are vital impulses, urges, ambitions, wills. Lower vital with all its paraphernalia inherited from the animal consciousness and the body. So we can imagine what a complex, just like the Indian parliament. All parliaments, by the way, are like that. All parliaments, democracy. So they will fight. And you will have an opposition and you will have the ruling party. So now what you have to do? The ruling party must be in majority to start with. If you want to execute anything, isn't it? Nobody will start with having the complete unification. So first is try to win more and more parts towards the side of yoga. Don't start fighting and struggling with the lower. Because if one does that, it will become a chaos. So start with unifying or taking up the higher parts, the higher mind, the deeper emotions. They respond very beautifully. And as to the other parts, practice some kind of, you know, regulation, etc. But they are there. They will wait. They will have their own time. But if you go prematurely into a struggle with these parts, they will sap. So first slowly we start winning. That's how the yoga shakti works. When it is said that in Sri Aurobindo's yoga, the divine mother starts working from above downwards, it means this. In traditionally Kundalini, you start working from below upwards. It's very dangerous because the moment Muladhar and just above that Swadhisthan, all the animal appetites will come out, like Gopi Krishna's book, no? On Kundalini yoga, and one can go completely crazy. So initially it is these parts, so they become more and more aligned. Slowly they become trained to the yogic force. Then the Divine Mother herself will take us to other fields. Come, now she will touch a part. Let's say somebody is very ambitious. So you will see that suddenly, even in ashram context, you will have that. Oh, I want this chair. Here it will be like this only. Outside it will be like, I want to become a minister or whatever, I don't know what is, big person. Here it will be like chair, ultimately what you can become, HOD, isn't it? So it's an ambition which will come out. And you have to persistently notice it and offer it. It will keep coming, troubling you. Then slowly this part, and one of the best ways for ambition, he has said, is to change it into service of the divine. Wanting to become an instrument of the grace, of light and channel, but with perfect humility. So this way the ambition begins to change. Now you've entered right here. Then comes the lower vital part. That's where the real struggle lies. And Sri Aurobindo has said that even the greatest of sadhaks find it very difficult to get freed from these impulses. Because they are there for millions of years. It looks very simple. But this is what sadhana is about. In ordinary life, an ordinary human being doesn't struggle with them. Because it is not even shown. It remains in the subconscious. But in yoga, it bursts open. So the entire subconscious, entire cosmic forces, and then because each one is representative, these forces start hitting from every corner. In ordinary life, because of the social forces and moral forces which are acting, there is a complete cap on it. But in the yoga, it goes away. There is a stage, Sri Aurobindo says, when the mental control is taken away and the psychic control has not yet come. So what, you know, this organizing around me is psychicization. The psychic now leads. So it higher mind, rational mind turns, physical mind has accepted, it has become mind of light. Imaginative mind is only imagining beautiful things. Externalizing mind, speech has changed, the deeper heart, it has turned toward the Divine Mother. All this has happened, ambition has changed. But the surface heart, the outer man, habits, the lower vital with all the impulses, jealousies and ambitions and sexual drives and fears, they have not gone. Now they will rise up. And when they rise up, what is to be done? One has to steadily keep remaining oriented to the faith. Sometimes to the Divine Mother and the grace. Sometimes it may look, there are people living here for years and decades who had this idea that I am unfit for yoga when the weaknesses of nature came up and they wanted to go away. And if you read Mother and Sri Aurobindo's letters where they say that my child, you don't know what beautiful things are hiding in your lower vital. And you are not unfit. Don't entertain these thoughts. Never have they. But people used to get, because it can be overwhelming. Then on top of it, worse things come through that door. Guilt and, you know, depression, despair, and eventually saps. So when one passes through this realm, it is unify means that all of them now are completely attuned. Even the lower vital wants the divine. So if there is fear, it is not trying outer means. It says, you have to get me rid of fear. I want courage. So it changes into courage. I want faith. So that faith imposes itself even on those parts which are trembling and they begin to change. So there are things which will be thrown out of nature. Actually, fear will be thrown out. Violent tendencies, they'll be thrown out. And some things will change into their divine possibility. And then finally the body. So what it means to unify, to create homogeneity, first is central aspiration. That's why in the yoga, call and the central sincerity is important. Without this, yoga cannot be done. It cannot be done just because I'm taking an intellectual interest, reading a book here, there, attending conferences or giving talks. This is nothing to do with yoga. Core aspiration. Once there is the aspiration, it cannot be done just because, you know, one is in the ashram and, oh, I have come, nice place. All these are fine. It's a good thing. But yoga starts with a conscious aspiration. Then one begins to see there are so many parts in nature which are not aligned to the yoga. Mother has given number of exercises. One of them is that every night project yourself on a cinema screen and see what are the things which are aligned, what not aligned. For example, did I say something which was should not have been said? Did I think in a way which I should not have thought? Did I feel in a way which was not becoming of me? Did I act in ways which are not worthy of a mother's child? And in some tendencies, you have to work 10,000 times without giving up. And you have to keep on aligning, keep on offering to the light, keep on offering to the light. Till one day they will start aligning. And how they will align? Divine has his own ways. It escapes human comprehension. She can, once you have given your charge to the Divine Mother, she will see to it. It doesn't act according to the human mental logic. So events, circumstances, everything will start working because you want to align. They will start working in a way that they will start getting slowly changed, aligned, depending upon the destiny, how far one has to go. Some people just refuse to change in some parts. So that's a division which remains. That also happens. Sometimes after they die, mother does a surgery. There is instance like that also. That certain tendencies, inveterate tendencies, after death she removed and made the person jump 3-4 lives. This, she can do that. But that can't be an excuse that, okay, I'll wait for the final surgery. So homogeneity means every part in us aspires for the divine. So does my thought want the divine? Or is it roaming around in 100 things? My professional, like, you know, expertise, my appreciation, what all, I don't know, share market, how to multiply money. Is the thought really aligned to the divine to start with? Or is it like skeptic? Shurbindu says this, but I have read in Shankaracharya something else. But, you know, that person in a lecture said very beautifully something else. Then thought is not aligned. Forget about lower parts. Even the higher is not aligned. These are easy to align. That, okay, what Mother and Sri Aurobindo says, for me that is final. I may not understand it. Don't turn it into a dogma. See, people say, oh, you are turning into dogma. No, I have used this method. My method is, Mother, you have said something I don't understand at this point of time. And yesterday only I had a discussion with someone who said that, why is it that people who die in the ashram, they are given this key, they will go straight to Sri Aurobindo. What is so special? I said, see, it is said by the Mother. First I quoted the passage. So we cannot doubt its veracity. But we now need to understand. That we can ask the Mother. Give me the understanding. What is so special about the ashramites that they will get such a straight road to heaven? They are full of defects. Yes, it is true. But look at it another way. Full of defects. This whole world is full of defects. But there is a person who at given point of time has said, Mother, please accept me with all my bundle of defects. And she has said yes. Now there is a difference. You have made that act, no? At a given point of time when you had options. You chose this. Now this choice has consequences. So it's not that, you know, person will have defects. But the divine has accepted. And the moment he has accepted, things begin to change. Second, ashram is a special occult formation. So if there is an occult formation created by the Divine Mother, she will not allow death to enter into this, the being of death. She will work it out in her own way. Does it mean that other devotees won't get the protection? No, they will also get. But here, it is independent of all your outer state. There you have to be in your inner state, the right inner condition, and you are given the same protection. So that's a big difference. So there are things which we may not understand immediately because the mind, reason, has this tendency. So pray to her, Mother, I don't understand. Give me the wisdom. And the wisdom will come. Very simply it will come. So these are the higher parts. Then the emotional parts, they will run here, there, 100 ties, families, children, this, that, 100 things one is tied to. I'm talking of the deeper emotional ties. So one has to align them to the divine. And then there are the surface emotions which, you know, roam around here, there, and they have to be gathered together. So it's a long process, but one has to slowly align them to the one goal. There cannot be two goals. So how to align? So let's say the deeper emotion, it has a feeling for father and mother or wife or husband or whoever, child. What do you do? So you take that, no more the child for the sake of the child. You stop expecting anything for yourself, desiring anything for yourself. And you start offering that also to the Divine Mother. It's like a river carrying everything in its current. This is one way. Second way is to start seeing the Divine even in that. All several methods, doesn't matter whether it's perfect, imperfect. But because you want things to change, eventually one day it will begin to change. And the same with each and every tendency and impulse. So homogeneity means every part in us, the body. What does the body want? I want to relax. I want to, you know, eat this. I want to eat that. I want this kind of luxury. This is what the body wants. But when the body will want the divine, how will the body want the divine? It will want the divine to touch, to hear, to taste the divine. Senses can start aspiring. All this is possible. And it will go through a phase of struggle because body is the most unconscious. But eventually a point will come when mother goes right up to the cells seeking the divine. And it doesn't matter if all cells are not seeking immediately, at least even few cells start seeking. So this is the way, it's a long process. Create homogeneity means everything in us wants the divine and the divine and nothing else but the divine. And if one can do it, it's a lifetime's sadhana. If one can do it, the rest is very easy. After that, it's like the force acts so beautifully. Otherwise, there are dislocations. That's why divine takes time. Because if he puts more pressure, then these parts which are resisting, their conflict will start throwing up upon other areas. Imagine if there is a battle going on right outside this house, will we remain unaffected? No, we will get affected. So what she does is, she says this part is ready, keep it in a box. Then starts putting pressure on other parts. And it's slow pressure. Because an intense pressure will create its own disturbances. So that's how the process of yoga works. By the grace of the mother, by the steadiness of the aspiration, by the soul's will to eventually realize the divine, all these things which seem impossible become possible. Thank you. Namaste.